Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. Just ahead on this edition of the Stingray Show, we are going to be talking about the Longhorns of Texas versus the Florida Gators. And this is the first time that Texas will have played in Gainesville in 85 years. Both teams are coming off of bye weeks, and Texas needed one to try to get its offense to going and working correctly, and Florida needed one to go ahead and reset after losses and losses and losses. We will be joined by Graham Hall of 247 Sports to Gators and a beat writer from the Texas Longhorns to preview Texas and Florida right now on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look, no.
Heath, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show. Heath, Florida has another big-time matchup this weekend, and their backs are against the wall again.
Well, you know, the dominoes have already started falling. We've had one firing in the SEC. I don't completely agree with the trend that, oh, we got to get out there and let everybody know that we're looking for a head coach, so we're going to fire our coach early.
Yeah.
In the world of social media, I mean, we all know, and we all know that there's been a hot seat in Gainesville for years. So I'm not buying it. But, yeah, this game is not looking you know, Stephen, preseason, we thought this game was going to be awesome. We thought DJ Lagway could maybe be a Heisman contender, and Billy Napier finally had it all together, and
yeah.
Arch Manning and all the Heisman hype that he got. And now this is like – two ugly girls fighting.
Yeah. So we are going to begin this matchup with the Longhorns of Texas. And joining us is a reporter who covers the Texas Longhorns for Orange Bloods. Please help us welcome to the Stingray Show, Anwar Richardson. Anwar, how are things with you in Austin, Texas? And let me also say, in the open, the guy who compared Texas to a stripper is a longtime cover of the Aggies. So that was Ollie Cannon from TexAggs.
Well, I mean, I've had some fun at strip clubs, so I don't know about him. So, I mean, I mean, it's been a while since I've been to one, but I have some good memories from them. So that sounds like a guy who left with less money than he started, and way more disappointments because Lexus or Starlet or whatever her name was disappointed him. But it's okay. Yes. It's okay. I would love to see the equation of being an Aggies fan. If that's what it's like being a Texas fan, because Aggies had way more disappointments. But
yeah. I'm marking off Shake House on my bingo card right now for the week. So, all right, we got Strip Club we can mark off on the bingo card.
Hey, you guys put it in the intro. I'm rolling with it.
So, Anwar, how were things in Austin, Texas? Because we all heard off-season about Arch Manning, and I would argue that for the first month of the season, his performance was underwhelming, to say the least.
I don't think there would be an argument against you. You don't have to argue. Like, he played in four games. Three out of the four were bad. Not good performances. You know, the Ohio State performance was bad, but you could tell yourself and try to rationalize to yourself, okay, you're playing and defending national champions, you're in their house, okay, maybe that explains why it's bad. But surely the following week when you play San Jose State, you get back on the horse, you go ahead, you smash them, you kind of do what you do, and the next thing you know, he's playing in the fourth quarter versus San Jose State because it's just not good enough. The offense isn't good enough. You can tell yourself, all right, well, the following week, they've got UTEP. Come on, UTEP. Like, that. All right, now you go ahead and curb stomp this team. You do what you do. And the next thing you know, you're not in a dogfight, but you're in a much closer game than you ever anticipated. And the offense isn't clicking once again. So now you're telling yourself, like, wait, okay. You know, my mama used to say, you know, once is an accident, twice is a habit. And so now you get to a point where it's like, okay, wait. Now I'm starting to see a trend. So now you got Sam Houston State that comes along, and okay, he plays better, but you can't ignore the other three games that you saw. Like, it would be almost a criminal malpractice, but to ignore it, right? And so now you go into this Florida game, and you got to tell yourself, okay, he hasn't really played well, and we're just being quite honest with you. If you go back to last season, really wasn't that overwhelmingly good enough for people to put all this hype and expectations on him. He comes into the game versus UTSA when Quinn Ewers gets hurt. He has a really good game. But then he plays against La Monroe, and the numbers, he throws two interceptions. It really is, it's an okay game. He plays much better against Mississippi State the following week. But there, the body of work that you've seen with those games last year, the games this year, they haven't been well. They haven't lived up to the hype. They haven't lived up to the Heisman talk and the Heisman belief. Now, if you're Texas, what you tell yourself is this. At the end of the day, we're still 3-1. We're still ranked in the top 10. We still have a chance to make the playoffs. And so, look, you've got some teams that might be willing to lay down for you. You know, Florida is in that teetering in the balance. Like, there's a thing where, you know, I've talked to a lot of people in Gainesville, you know, if things go bad in the first quarter or two, the Boo Birds are going to be out in Florida, right? So you have that. You've got Oklahoma the following week, right? And so John Mateer, will he play? Will he not play, right? If he doesn't play, all of a sudden, you may have had two teams, if you're Texas, that lay down for you. And then you just kind of go through the list. Hell, Arkansas fired their coach, right? So, you know, they've got a pathway in front of them. So if you're Texas, you just tell yourself, well, we just need them to – you don't need him to be great. You need him to be good. Like, that's got to be your goal. Your goal isn't to get him to New York this year. That's not going to happen. Your goal is just for him to be good. Can it just be what Quinn Ewers was for you last few years? Wasn't great. He was just good. If you can get him to good with this defense, then as a Texas fan, you can tell yourself, all right, we have a chance to still, you know, make it to the SEC championship and make it to the playoffs. But the goal has to be to go from bad to good that's when it starts from this week. The thing is, what we don't know is that going against a team like Florida that has a really, really good defense, yeah, not a great offense, what will he do and how will he react when the bullets start flying again?
So we are up against our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to continue our talks about Arch Manning and this Texas football team. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
If you roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Anwar Richardson is our guest here on the Stingray Show tonight. Anwar, the one thing that caught my eye this morning, and I was shocked when I was doing a little bit of research for the show, and I was blown away by this, the third down rankings for both of these offenses is horrendously, horrendously bad. Texas is ranked 100.
Have you looked at fourth down by any chance?
No, I haven't, but third down, Texas is 103rd. And Florida is 123rd. Mm-hmm. What is going on third down? You can talk about fourth down after third down, but what's going on third down?
I mean, third down is it's you know, the problems are happen, which is basically Texas gets into third and predictable a lot. You know, so one thing, a couple of things that have happened is, you know, if you look at their penalties and see where they are. You know, their penalties add up pretty quickly. And they've been talking about trying to knock that down. But, you know, so you have the penalties. The run game has not been a factor for this team this year. They've had C.J. Baxter, Trey Wisner as their kind of lead backs. You know, both of those guys have somewhere around 100 yards rushing. Now, they have been hurt the past couple of games, both of those guys. But the run game has been pretty non-existent, quite honest with you. C.J. Baxter was listed as doubtful in this week's SEC, you know, injury report, so which means they have to lean on Trey Wisner. So you don't have a run game. You've got penalties, and now you're in third and obvious. And now when you get in third and obvious, that's where Texas has been struggling, you know, a lot. And they have not been able to really move the ball effectively on first down and second downs. They've had some injuries as well. But, you know, I still say at the end of the day, the thing that concerns me about it, as you talk about it, is that if you told me it was like this and we were four games into SEC play, I can say, whoa, it's happening against top teams, elite teams. Right. If you're telling me this is four games and three of these teams are non-Power Four teams,
right,
then that's the concern for me. It's like, again, now what happens when you start playing just decent SEC teams? We haven't even gotten to the good ones yet, but Florida is just a decent team, right? What happens the following week versus Oklahoma and what that looks like against that defense? What does it look like against Kentucky or Mississippi State, right? And then they go back and they have Vanderbilt after that. They got a bye, and then they go to Georgia, right? So what does it look like against those teams? That's my thing. So the main thing has been lack of a run game. They've had some penalties, and now you get in third and obvious. And when you're in third and obvious, like, it's, you know, a lot of times that's dealer's choice for a defense.
All right. Let's talk about one of the positives for the Texas Longhorns through the first month of the season, and that's on the other side of the football, that incredible defense. Talk about what you have seen from this Texas Longhorn defense, please.
Well, that is the positive, you know, when you look at it, and that's the thing. Like, look, that's it's interesting that, you know, Steve Sarkisian is known as an offensive guy, but the thing that has really been the cornerstone of his teams the past couple of seasons has been defense. And ironically, we have more questions about the offense than we do about the defense. Like, it's an interesting conundrum that they have there. But the defense has been really, really good. The defense has done what they need to do. You know, they've only the most they've given up so far in a game has been 10. They go on the road to Ohio State. They only give up 7 points, right? So you get, again, I can, the defense is doing what I would want the offense to do, which is play well and dominate, especially against the lesser opponents, right? They're getting the turnovers. And so they are able to, they've got athletes there. They're able to get to the football. It's hard now because one of the things Sark has talked about is that he says, because he got edge rushers, he says the guys get rid of the ball pretty fast. I think he said UTEP got rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds on average. And so, you know, their teams are doing their best to neutralize that, but it's hard to run against this team, you know, because they've got some guys up front. They've got good linebackers, and they've got. By PK has been kind of the cornerstone. The defense, when I look at this Florida team, I look at it as, you know, DJ Lagway, can he figure out how to find any holes in it, in this defense now? Because the biggest concern for me about their defense is, like anything in football, and you guys know this, as good as your defense is, and it may be, eventually at some point there's going to be one of those games where somebody just gets loose, and you know, and you're going to need your offense to come through for you, right? Georgia just experienced that just the other week, right? And so for me, as good as this defense is, to tell me they're going to hold everybody to 7 or 10 points all year long, it's unrealistic. It's right. Very unrealistic when you look at what lies ahead, when you look at the Mississippi States that lie ahead, look at Vanderbilt, who's putting up points, right? Or Georgia. So I think this defense is good. I think this defense is elite. But, you know, it won't mean much. And these guys will wear down if the offense doesn't come around. But the defense is the thing that they'll hang their hats on.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to touch on offense very quickly again. Is it one of those things where, you know, we're hearing great things out of practice reports out of Arch Manning, and he's like, he's about to put it all together. He's about to piece it together. And once he does, he'll take off. Or is it one of those things where we're hearing some negative things out of practice reports and, how much longer? How long is this leash? I mean, you got a senior quarterback, I believe, from Troy. There is the backup, but what's the timetable here?
The timetable is you can't bench Arch Manning. That's your table. So there is none. And what I mean by that is you got to think of the ramifications of that. Yeah. The ramifications of saying I could not develop a Manning is a killer for Steve Sarkisian. Like, you don't want that to be on your tombstone. Here lies Steve Sarkisian. I could not develop a Manning, right? That's and you got to think of it also, Heath, along these lines. He benched Quinn Ewers against Georgia last year, and because he wasn't playing well. Now Arch comes in. Arch doesn't really do much better, and so then, you know, Quinn comes back in. If you have to go back to back years with benching starting quarterbacks, it's not really good for you, especially your reputation as a quarterback developer. And by the way, Steve Sarkisian, you know, he's flirting very dangerously with the "what have you done for me lately" line as relates to quarterback play, because the Carson Palmer thing, that's a long time ago, right? Wow. And that's under Pete Carroll, okay? And then yes, what you did under Nick Saban. But again, you were not the head guy. So it's more about, okay, well, what have you done at Texas? Well, you had Casey Thompson, who you got here, didn't really do much. You had Hudson Card, who was with your quarterback. He didn't do much. You had Malik Murphy, who was a backup. He transfers out. He hasn't done much as well. Then you had Quinn Ewers, who came in. He was your starter for three seasons. He ends up being a seventh round pick, former five star. And now your whole thing has been, hey, Quinn Ewers is who he is, but Arch is going to be the guy that takes us to the promised land. And yep. So now, if after three seasons, you know, 2 years as a backup, 1 year as a starter, if you have to pull the plug on that, it's a huge indictment. Like, it doesn't go over well. It doesn't put you maybe in the quote-unquote hot seat, but it starts to warm it up. So I don't think, no matter what, unless there's an injury, you cannot do that. And the second thing is, if you do that, now you're in the A block of First Take, right? You're in the A block of every sports show that has to say Arch Manning got benched. And so now you've got to deal with, you know, you feel like your quarterback's mental state is kind of fragile as it is. You've said that this thing is kind of mental with him as opposed to physical. Now you bench him? Like,
so Texas is going to Gainesville for the first time in 85 years on Saturday. Anwar, how do you see it playing out? The Longhorns of Texas versus the Gators of Florida?
Well, I expect a low scoring game. I think the defenses are good enough where I think this is a low scoring game. Last time I checked, there's some possibility of rain in this game as well. You know, two quarterbacks that are kind of filling their way through, I think. So I think Texas, just because of their defense, I think they pull this out. But I think the score that I originally wrote down, I did a prediction the other day, and I think the score that I wrote down was like 20-13 is what I gave Texas the edge in this game. But look, man, you know, I'll say this. I don't count Florida out. I'm not. I refuse to do so. Now, look, I went to USF. So as a Bulls fan who watched that entire game, hey, I was happy about that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to count Florida out at home back against the wall. But I will go Texas in this game. But I definitely know there's. I think it's the first of many tough games to come for them.
Anwar, look, man, this has been a blast. Thank you for taking time to give us your insight about Texas and Arch Manning. Good luck if you're going to Gainesville to cover that game, and we would love to catch up with you later on to continue our talks of the Longhorns of Texas.
All right, guys, I'll be there in Gainesville this weekend, and have me back on whenever you want. You guys take care.
Hook 'em. Let's go. All right. So that is going to wrap up the Texas side of this matchup. Graham Hall of 247 The Gators is on deck to join us to talk about this game from the home team, which is the Florida Gators. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. Due to time constraints on the radio here, we were not able to play all of the Texas preview interview. So if you would like to hear more about what's going on in Austin, Texas with Arch Manning and this offense, the entire interview will be placed on my YouTube page. Just search the Stingray Network. So go to YouTube and look for the Stingray Network if you would like to hear more from the Texas side and more from the Florida Gators. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. That's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Season never ends. 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And like I said there before we went to break about the length of the interviews due to time constraints, we are only allowed 40 minutes on the radio. So what we're going to do is we are going to play for you the highlights of our next interview with Graham Hall. But if you would like more in-depth analysis of the Florida Gators and Billy Napier, go to my YouTube channel and search the Stingray Network for more in-depth coverage of all of our interviews. And here's what we can put on the radio of the Graham Hall interview. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with the Texas Longhorn side of this matchup. Now, let's dive into this matchup from Florida. And like we've been talking about, Heath, this bye week came at a great time because their backs were completely against the wall after some losses and they needed to reset. Here is Graham Hall from 247 Sports to Gators to give us a preview of Florida in this game and moving forward after the bye week. Graham, how were things with you and how big was the off week for the Florida Gators right now after they were coming off of a horrible performance against Miami?
Well, it couldn't have come at a better time for Florida. Obviously, sitting there at 1-3, not the start that fans and the Florida program envisioned. That loss to USF in week two was just a bad taste in Florida's mouth. And you looked at the schedule ahead, that was a critical missed opportunity for Florida to get their first FBS win, build some momentum, because they had to go to LSU and then down to Miami and then have that bye week. And now they face Texas and then Texas A&M next week. So you're talking about a team that could be sitting here at 1-5, theoretically, at the midpoint of the season. So it was critical for DJ Lagway to continue his development.
Yeah.
We've talked a ton about this, that he was modified during spring camp. He threw a little bit during the summer, then had the calf strain before fall camp, missed much of fall camp there. Didn't really start fully practicing until 12 days before the season, but he wasn't doing every single, like they call it, good on good, 11 on 11 practice session. This past bye week was the first time where every single day throughout the week, he was a full participant in 1v1, 11v11. That was huge for him because if you watch Lagway, there's so much he needs to work on. He looks like a guy who has adjusted his mechanics, still needs to improve his footwork, and most notably needs to improve at reading defenses. And the only way he can do that is by getting valuable practice time and obviously game experience as well. So that's the focal point for Florida because defensively they've looked good. Those first two FBS games, they'd allowed just two touchdowns combined. They had Florida in a position there in the second half against Miami to go down and take the lead when it was 13-7. Florida couldn't execute on fourth down, and then Miami scores those two touchdowns at the end to make that contest to look a little bit more lopsided than it actually was for the first three quarters. So for Florida, so much for them to work on and improve upon and things that they can do to help DJ Lagway from a play calling standpoint, from an offensive line, technical and procedural standpoint. You know, the penalties have just shot Florida in the foot. They've hindered drives. They've been unable to execute on third down. They've faced a long field too often at the start of drives. They're coming off a 0-for-13 performance on third down against Miami. You have to be better in that facet of the game. You have to move the chains and you have to establish the run, which that's probably one of the more under the radar surprising things about Florida this year is that they're very high on their backfield contingent of Jaden Baugh and Jacoby Jackson. Jackson will actually miss this Saturday's game and Duke Clark is going to play a larger role, but they're only running the ball about 43-44% of the time so far this season, which is kind of been out of character for a Billy Napier offense. They're used to establishing the run, running the ball 55-60% of the time there. And with a quarterback who has struggled at the way Lagway has, you would expect that to be something the Gators lean on a little bit more moving forward, because I think that it's going to give them a really good chance. And last year at Texas, they had more than 200 yards rushing on the ground. So this is a chance for Florida's rushing attack to get going, even without their number two running back in Jacoby Jackson. They're going to have to find some ways to take some of the pressure off Lagway, just given what he's dealing with so far.
So we saw this past weekend that Arkansas went on ahead and pulled the trigger and let Sam Pittman go. How concerned should Billy Napier be that if they continue this downward spiral, that he could be next?
Well, if he's concerned, I'll give him some credit. He's not showing it. He's not focused on his job security as much as what his job security is related to, which is Florida's on-field performance. I mean, he understands he doesn't need the outside narrative to inform him that he's in a precarious position here and may not see out the end of his fourth season at Florida. They understand that the results have to be better. And if you have better results, you're going to give yourself some breathing room and have a chance to continue developing the players and building the program up the right way, which to Napier's credit, in my opinion, he's done a really good job at everything outside the in-game coaching. And obviously people are going to judge you by the wins and losses, and that's just the reality of the business. But everything else has been, you know, impressive in my mind. They've retained talent. They've landed players in the portal and via the recruiting trail. They have fielded a good defense. He's made adjustments to the coaching staff outside of the offensive play calling. It's just the in-game results that have people calling for him, especially in Gainesville, to no longer be Florida's head coach. So to answer the question, if Florida can't get a victory this weekend, if they falter next week at Texas A&M, yeah, I would think that a change is going to swiftly be on the horizon. Now, when that happens is anyone's guess. You're still not halfway through the season. I understand Arkansas, their situation, but Sam Pittman had been there for 6 years. This was building to that much sooner than just this season. And the same can be said for Napier, knowing that this isn't just this year's results are disappointing. Go back to last season. They start 1-2. You have people calling for him to no longer be the head coach. before he's finished his third season. In my opinion, in this era of college football, that is too soon, given all the changes, the adjustments that coaches have to deal with, and how competitive the SEC just is in general. I mean, you got teams like Vanderbilt and Mississippi State that are able to beat ranked teams, and that wasn't the case a couple of years ago. So this is an obviously a difficult conference, and Florida desperately needs a win, or else Billy Napier, he can see the writing on the wall that there's going to be a change that more than likely will happen. Again, when that is going to be, if Florida waits until the second bye week before facing Georgia, I could see a situation like that. But if they don't look competitive on Saturday, if they struggle on the road against Texas A&M, maybe they make a change before homecoming on October 18th against Mississippi State. That would make a ton of sense to me. But these next two games are going to decide how long Billy Napier is in Gainesville, in my opinion.
Graham, two quick questions since we're talking about coaching. You know, I keep hearing this year in and year out, and it's more and more of a trend, and we've seen it happen already this year. Arkansas is one of the examples. Well, we got to get our name out there to let everybody know we need a head coach. We need to get – I'm like, we live in a society where 18 minutes ago is old news. Like, what are we doing here? I understand, and a great example of this would be Mississippi State a couple of years ago. When they had Zach Arnett, like they said, there was no juice in the program. We had to make a move. This was completely pathetic. But there was only two games left in the season. Now we're firing coaches in September. Like, oh, we got to get out front. We got to get out front. If you're going to make a hire in October, I get getting out front. But that's never the case. This hire is not going to be done until December. Your thoughts on the silliness, and you, if you don't think it's silly, that's fine. I'll let you talk and let you have your opinion. But your thought on this of what is the benefit of letting a coach go? If your program's dead, I get it. You need a little juice. I got that. But if they're barely losing or they're trying and they're trying to make things happen, I understand. I don't understand of letting a coach go so early. And talk about that from the Florida perspective. You know, would it be something where like, hey, we've got to let Billy go, that he's lost the team, or hey, let's let him finish out the season. We'll make the call here the first week of December.
Yeah, that's a great point about, first off, let me answer that and say that I do agree with you that firing a coach in September or even early October, barring some controversy, off-field incident, losing the locker room in this day and age just feels premature to me. I understand that people operate, especially at Florida, with the mindset that if you're going to do something, you do it as soon as possible. But in this era of college football, especially, all these coaching discussions are happening behind the scenes. They're talking to agents, they're fielding interest. You don't need to have an opening necessarily to be having those conversations.
Right.
Florida has, dating back to last year, you could make the case in since last August that Florida should have a short list of candidates. They've done their research, that they have a short list in mind, that they've vetted personnel, that they've talked to agents. They've had considerable time to get someone in place, figure out what the market is going to look like, and know that regardless of whether Napier is fired in, you know, October 19th or whether he's fired November 30th, that you have someone that you already are going to target.
So we are up against our final break of the evening. When we come back, we are going to get Graham's prediction on the Florida and Texas matchup. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, finishing it up right after. Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192. 2 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269. Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be in entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
And we want to welcome you back inside the final segment of this edition of the Stingray Show. Let's finish up the interview with Graham Hall talking about the Florida and Texas matchup. When we get to the matchup with Texas this weekend, where are you most concerned that Texas can take advantage of the Florida Gators?
Well, it's a talented Texas defense, and you have a struggling quarterback in DJ Lagway, who needs to do a better job reading defenses, making decisions, sensing pocket pressure, stepping up in the pocket, working on his footwork. I mean, I've got a laundry list of things that could be issues for Florida's offense against this Texas defense. I also think that you're talking about a Florida defense. Yeah, Arch Manning hasn't been fantastic, and the Longhorns faced arguably one of the worst teams in college football 2 weeks ago. But Florida's defense has taken some hits in the recent weeks. They lost Caleb Banks for potentially, I would probably say probably, the remainder of the season after he had surgery after the LSU game. They lost LJ McCray for a while, still not going to make his way back, a guy who was important in the edge room for them. But in the secondary, you're going to be looking at two guys having to step into larger roles when you just lost starters at Miami 2 weeks ago. Aaron Gates had shoulder surgery on Wednesday, and Dijon Johnson suffered a season-ending injury. He had a torn meniscus in that loss to Miami. So there's as impressive as Florida's defense has been, there's a belief from outsiders especially that Florida's defense is not going to be able to perform at the rate that they showcased the first 4 weeks of the season. And again, the defense is not the problem. Right. They allowed just two touchdowns in the first 3 weeks combined on the season. Are they going to be able to play at the same level? Are they going to be able to win the turnover battle? Are they going to be able to get Florida a short field position to go out and execute? That is a huge question mark in my mind. So there are questions on both sides of the ball for Florida heading into this game. And I would not be surprised if Arch Manning takes advantage of a beat up Florida secondary. And I also wouldn't be surprised if Florida's offense still struggles to execute, even though DJ Lagway got that development time this past week. I haven't seen it happen at the rate that many people were expecting. It's kind of one of those fool me three times type things. I got to see it to believe that Lagway is able to perform at the rate that he showcased last season.
All right, Graham, where do you feel like that Florida could potentially take advantage of Texas, if there is anywhere?
Yeah, the run game. I think that for Florida, they need to do a better job establishing the run, and they have talent there. They have a good offensive line, and they have a really, really dynamic running back in Jaden Baugh. If they can take some of the pressure off of DJ Lagway, make it so that Florida can, you know, not be one-dimensional offensively and establish the run and break a couple big runs, then Florida, I think, could absolutely have their chances to be successful and put some points up on this Texas defense. That is a huge thing for Florida in this game. Again, they had 200 yards rushing, more than 200 yards rushing a season ago in Texas when the passing game struggled with Aiden Warner. Establish the run in this game. And I also think that Florida can potentially win the turnover battle. You know, Arch Manning still has a lot of work to do. Let me just say this real quick. Every sophomore quarterback and every first-year full-time starter has a lot of work to do. I hope that people moving forward are going to be a little bit more hesitant to proclaim these guys as potential Heisman Trophy candidates when they haven't started a full season at their programs, which is the case with Arch Manning, and it certainly is the case with DJ Lagway. These guys are going to ideally play 15 years at quarterback the rest of their careers, and expecting them as 20-year-olds to be able to make every single correct decision and read defenses and have the pocket presence that guys at the next level have, or even quarterbacks who are 23, 24 years old in this post-COVID era. It's kind of unrealistic. You know, the Tim Tebows and the Johnny Manziels are so few and far between that expecting a sophomore to be a Heisman Trophy candidate is often wishful thinking, if not ignorant in a sense. So I do think that Florida, their defense can take advantage of Arch Manning, win some, get some takeaways. You know, Cormani McClain is going to step into that role for Deshaun Johnson with Johnson out for the season. And Cormani had an interception on the lone pass thrown in his direction at Miami. If Florida can force Manning into some bad decisions, then I think that the Gators are going to have a chance to exploit that. But they're going to need to get some help from their pass rush. That is probably one of the other big questions for Florida heading into this game. They just have 3 sacks on the season. That is in the 130s of 136 FBS teams. That is putrid, quite honestly. And they need to do a better job at getting pressure on the quarterback to force a guy like Arch Manning into those decisions. But if Florida can get the pressure that we have heard that they've been able to get in practice and win the turnover battle and establish the run offensively, I think Florida could be in this game in the second half and have their chances to secure the upset against a really, really good Texas team.
So how do you see it playing out Saturday as Texas invades Gainesville for the first time in 85 years? Texas or the Gators?
Yeah, I'm going Texas. As everything I just said about Florida, the issues they're dealing with defensively, Lagway's shortcomings so far, I think it's a little bit too much to overcome, even though I think that Ben Hill Griffin Stadium is going to cause some problems for Texas's offense. Until I see Florida's offense come out and be explosive and attack and execute drives and move the chains and take advantage of any shortcomings that Texas has, I can't sit here and be optimistic that it's going to occur. I do think that due to the situations both defenses are dealing with, Texas missing a key guy in the secondary, Florida missing key guys in the secondary, that both quarterbacks are going to have chances to be explosive. And I actually think this game is going to be a little bit more higher scoring than a lot of people project due to just some broken plays, miscommunications, whatever it is. I think that this is going to be a game that I went 31-17 in my prediction. I think Florida's going to get a rushing touchdown. I think Lagway's going to connect with one through the air. Florida's going to get a field goal. But I do think that Arch Manning is probably just in a better position right now to be successful than DJ Lagway is. I could see them also getting a defensive touchdown. This is going to be a game that I see Texas pulling away in the third quarter, and Florida's going to have their chances, in my opinion, in the second half before faltering down the stretch, kind of in similar fashion to that Miami loss. I don't think that the frustrations are going to evaporate in Gainesville after Saturday. I do think that Texas wins in a 31-17 contest, but I also could see a low-scoring affair. I could see a game that is sitting here at, you know, 3-0 at halftime, and people are saying it's a quote-unquote defensive battle with two quarterbacks who are just showcasing their rate of development thus far. Second year guys, first full season as starters, a lot of experienced talent on defense for both teams. If that is what occurs here, Florida's going to have their chances in the game, but I think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring than a lot of people think, and I think Texas prevails and improves to 4-1 after Saturday.
Graham, look, man, enjoy covering the Florida Gators and the Texas Longhorns this weekend. Thank you for this interview, and we will catch up with you later on to continue to talk about the Florida Gators.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me. Hope all is well out there. Looking forward to a great game on Saturday.
Take care, Graham.
Thank you, Heath. Good seeing you, Stephen.
All right. Go Gators, man. So that is going to wrap up the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show. When we come back on Friday, we are going to be joined by Adam Rittenberg, senior writer for ESPN, and Heath and I will go over all of the games this weekend and continue our talks of college football. That is on the Friday evening edition of the Stingray Show. We will see you right back here at 6 p.m. right here on the radio, and we will have Adam Rittenberg join us then.
What time, Stephen?
6.
6, 7. Okay.
6 p.m.